truth he was singing about, though. Aren't you glad it was for you he died? Thankful for that. I believe that'll go with our passage of scripture we want to look at this morning. Go to the book of 1 John in the New Testament, please. 1 John, last chapter, chapter number 5. Let's look at a few verses together, starting about verse number 9 of 1 John chapter 5. I want to talk about God's hit record. And you'll see it in the passage this morning. You used to use that terminology. They don't say that anymore. Now they talk about just a hit or a recording or an album or a song. It used to be a record in the good or at least better old days than they are now, I guess. And I've spun quite a few records in my day. And actually probably more than most of you, because I worked at a radio station there for quite a few years. Some of you used to listen to me and Rich on the radio together, doing the morning show in the mid-90s into the 2000s. And back when we were on the radio, Brother Jeff and others could tell you this, that we were in more of an old-fashioned studio, not like now where all the songs are on a computer. We actually played lots of records, especially in the morning. And we had two record players there. I think we had two CD players, but we had very little music that was on a CD back then. And there were some cassettes, but those are the worst things to play music off of. And you had to take them out, wind them with your finger to, you know, you'd cue it up. That's how you had to cue it up. Anyway, if you're going to play that song, hit that button and let it play. Anyway, I'll teach you science here. But we had two record players. I remember we'd be coming down to the end of a song or getting ready for something, and Rich would look at me and say, "We got 5 seconds." And I'd say, "That's 4 too many." And I'd get that record ready, and we'd play that thing, and we had a good time with it. Well, that's not the kind of record we're going to read about this morning. It's going to be a little bit different. Let's read about it starting in 1 John chapter 5. But before I get to this passage this morning, I'll tell you the story about the young American man. He was an engineer. He's an engineer in America. He was sent to Ireland by his company to work in a new electronics plant. It was a 2-year assignment that he had accepted, and it would enable him to earn enough money to marry his longtime girlfriend and fiance. She had a job back near her home in Tennessee, and their plan was to pool their resources and put a down payment on a house when he returned. Well, they corresponded often, but as the lonely weeks went by, she began expressing doubts that he was being true to her, exposed as he was to the comely Irish lasses. The young engineer wrote back, declaring with some passion that he was paying absolutely no attention to the local girls. "I admit," he wrote, "that sometimes I might be tempted, but I fight it. I'm keeping myself for you." Well, in the next mail correspondence, the engineer received a package. It contained a note from his girl and a harmonica. "I'm sending this to you," she wrote, "so you can learn to play it and have something to take your mind off those girls." Well, the engineer replied, "Thanks for the harmonica. I'm practicing on it every night and thinking of you." At the end of his 2-year stint, the young engineer was transferred back to company headquarters. He took the first plane to Tennessee to be reunited with his girl. Her whole family was with her, but as he rushed forward to embrace her, she held up a restraining hand and said sternly, "Just hold on there a minute, Billy Bob. Before any serious kissing and hugging gets started here, let me hear you play that harmonica." She wanted a little bit of evidence, didn't she? All right, well, we're going to see some evidence here in the passage this morning. It actually does go with our thought we want to look at together, starting in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 5. The Bible says, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son." Now here's verse 11. I want you to pay attention to it, if you would, please. "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son." And here's that verse, I even read it last week. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." But look at verse 11 again. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." Let's talk for a few moments together this morning about God's hit record. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this time and your word this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together. Thank you for all that are here. Father, may you help us as we look to your word, that our minds may be clear and our hearts may be open to your truth. Thank you so much that it was for me he died, and that Lord Jesus Christ, purchase my salvation and my eternal life. Father, may we pay attention to your record this morning. May it bear the importance with us that it should. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ as we ask these things now in his precious name. Amen. God does have a hit record, and it says here in verse number 11, this is the record. Now, I know we use the word record differently. You can use it as a verb, like record, and you can use it like a noun, like record, like the way we're using it in the passage, the way I believe it's set up and structured in the passage this morning. The Bible says this is the record that God hath given. Now, the definition of the word record would be to set down in writing or something similar to writing, something official. It would be to be set down for the purpose of preserving evidence. That would be an official record. We deal with official records day in and day out. It'd be evidence. It'd be a witness. It would be testimony. And by the way, you ever seen that passage when you're reading in Scripture, like Romans 8, maybe some other places, where it uses that term to wit, T-O, the word to, and the word wit, W-I-T? Well, that simply means the word wit is the first syllable in the word witness, is it not? To wit? Well, it's like to witness. It's to see. It's to say. It's to know. And when you have an official witness, an official testimony that is placed in an official capacity, it becomes an official record. And God even deals that way. If man can be official in the way that we operate, do you not think God, who's much higher than us, is official in the way he operates? God has given us an official record. And we see that here in the passage. And when it comes to eternal life, this is good. This is what Michael was singing about. When it comes to eternal life, God has gone on record and he's promised it to us. That's great news right there. Most of the world is not reveling in that great news. They got other things they'll get excited about today, like the Super Bowl and all that. And that'll be recorded. You know, the game will be recorded. The stats will be recorded. The win, the number, the Roman numerals, that'll all be recorded. But you know what? That's all going to go away. But something that is a record concerning eternal life will never go away. Just got to get our head on straight there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, as I turn back one page, the Bible says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. That's 1 John 2, 25. That's a promise that God gave us. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God has gone on official record and told us that we can have eternal life. That's good news right there. So let's talk about it for a few moments this morning. Number one, let's look at verse 11 again. I'm going to read it and I'm going to break it down and take three statements out of the passage this morning. Verse number 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Number one this morning, let's look at this. Eternal life is a reality. Eternal life is a reality. Some people are out of touch with reality. Not the reality that they think about, the day in, day out humanistic survival down here in this earthly realm, but what real reality is God's reality. I've preached about that recently. Don't ever get human reasoning and scriptural reality, don't ever get them mixed up, because they're two different things. Human reasoning, it's good to have common sense and all that, but a lot of times we humanly try to reason things away and we get these ideas in our head and they're false when God has given us a reality that's contained in his record, the Holy Scripture. We always have to side with God. We always got to side with God even against ourselves. Eternal life is a reality. Now everything around us is temporal. Talking about the Super Bowl, that's temporal. Nothing lasts, whether it's clothes, cars, toys, you know, whether they're young people's toys or grown-up toys or technology or whatever it is, none of that lasts. It's all in the temporal category. Even our human life, even human life, physical life doesn't last. Physical life does not last. We've had a lot of funerals here lately, a lot of memorial services here lately. That's once again a reminder, a testimony, a witness that physical life does not go on and on and on. It has an end to it. Well, you can look around. I mean, maybe you can talk about the clothes you used to wear. Where are they at now? They might be on you today. I don't know. You might be sporting them. They might be in the closet at home. They might be in a box in an attic or in some deep, dungy basement, not in Central Florida, but where you're from up north, maybe. Maybe that's where they're at. I don't know. What about your cars? You can talk to my dad. I hear my dad talk all the time about the cars he should not have sold and how we'd all be millionaires if he'd have kept those cars. But he sold them. They're gone. Where are they at? We don't know. There might be a record of it somewhere, but we don't have that record. They're gone. We had that reminder in our family just recently. We had a vehicle, a family vehicle that served us well for almost 8 years, and we were planning on driving it for another eight or however long it would drive. And we were just keeping it, but you know, a lady's playing with her phone or texting somebody and crosses the yellow line, it hits my wife. Our vehicle's totaled. It's gone, just like that. Where's it at now? It's not my garage anymore. It's on some salvage yard somewhere. That's where it's at. And that's just how the temporal things go. They're here, then they are gone. And what about the Christmas presents? Here we are in February already, first Sunday of February. What about the Christmas presents? Hopefully you still have this year's. What about last year's? What about the year? What about 5 years ago on Christmas? Does the Salvation Army now own those Christmas presents? They're at a thrift store. They went the way of the garage sale a while ago, didn't they? All those Christmas presents will eventually end up somewhere, either in the city dump or in a thrift store or in somebody else's pile of junk somewhere. It's not gonna last. There's a cycle there, and I think we lose track of it. Now they make TV programs on TV about wading through other people's junk and picking out what you like, picking out what's value and leaving what's not value. Those are all temporal things. That's not real reality. And when God goes on record here in the passage, he's not going on record concerning temporal things. But he is going on record concerning eternal things. That's what it says again in verse number 11 here. God's going on record about some very important eternal things. He says, and this is the record. It's a record about something eternal. It's a record about eternal life. Now, there's some things that last forever for us to consider this morning. There's some things that last forever and ever that we need to think about that most of mankind are not thinking about today. Number one, let's remember that God is eternal. God has always been, God always will be. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. We've changed, we will change. If we stick around long enough, time does change things, but it doesn't change God. God can change in his dealings towards man. He can bring us along, but God is the same. He changes not. Jesus Christ is eternal. Did you understand that? Jesus Christ is eternal. Hebrews chapter 13. In verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There's something eternal there that you can hang your heart upon right there, that you can hang your eternity upon. What about the Holy Spirit of God, the triune God? The Holy Spirit is eternal also. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 14, it speaks of through the eternal Spirit in reference to the Holy Spirit of God. That's something that lasts and exists forever. There's three that bear record in heaven, 1 John chapter 5 verse number 7 says, and it's talking about the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Those are the three that I just mentioned to you. Eternal things that God has gone on record about. What about the Word of God? It's something that I can literally and physically hold in my hand. It's even bound with something that's, I guess you could say, temporal. But yet the words that are inside this binding right here, that are printed on this paper right here, these words actually are eternal. Psalm number 119, verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 152 says, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. Forever. So something, now this Bible might not make it forever. It was printed in 1993, and I've had it for quite a few years now, and it'll last me, I think, trying to care for it the best I can, I think it'll last me a lot longer. Yet this actual physical, literal matter right here will not last forever, but the words that are in it will last forever and ever and ever. You know why? Because they're eternal. The Word of God, the Holy Scripture, the words that God has spoken to me and you, is a preserved record that goes on forever and ever and ever. Now, here's the thing. Verse number 10. Let me read it again. We're in verse number 11. Let's go back to verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. Why is he a liar? Why is this man a liar? How did God make him a liar? Because this man believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Either we believe that God can give eternal life that will never end, or we believe that God is a liar. It's either one or the other. That's what verse 10 says. God says, here's the record. It's concerning eternal life. And I'm going to tell you about eternal life, and it's officially recorded, it's officially preserved, it's official as it can be because I'm the one that gave it, and I made sure that you had a copy of that record even today. So the question is, are we going to believe God's record, or are we going to think God's a liar? I read you that verse earlier, Titus 1:2, God that cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. It says that in the book of Hebrews. It's impossible. So if it's impossible for God to lie, it's impossible for his record to not be true. This record has to be pure and right and true. So let me go to my second point this morning. Number one, eternal life is a reality because God says it is. It's in his record. Number two, eternal life is a gift. Look at it in verse 11 again. Here's the record, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. So the second part of verse number 11 says that God hath given to us eternal life. Emphasis on the word given there. How did we get eternal life? Oh, we attained it. We paid for it. We bought it. We earned it. No, it says God hath given. Given. Doesn't say that God put it up for sale. Doesn't say that God put it up to be won or to be earned. It doesn't say that God put it up there to be bartered or traded for or bargained about. No, he gave us eternal life. That's what the record says. Probably the biggest deception that Satan has going today is the concept of people trying to earn their own eternal life. There's churches, and I say this often, and I'm right every time I say it. There's churches today meeting like we're meeting, and they're not talking about what God has given. They're talking about what somebody might can earn, what somebody might can attain, what somebody can work for. And that's a false gospel and a false religion, and it does not jive with the record right here. How do you know what's false, and how do you know what's pure and right? You just check the record. You check the record. It's an official record that God has given us. So what does God's record say about the deception Satan has going on that you can earn and work for your eternal life? Well, what about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? There's a good place in the record right there that addresses this topic. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. That's the same as what the record says, that God hath given us eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's the gift. It's the giving. God is the one that does the giving. We're the ones that does the receiving. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing to boast about because we're the sinners that need a Savior. Are we going to boast in our wickedness and our wretchedness and our failures and our shortcomings and our sin? No, there's nothing to boast about except that we can boast about the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that gave us eternal life even though we didn't deserve it, even though we could not earn it, even though we couldn't right all the wrongs. He made it all right. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We should know about that, and there's nothing to boast there. But the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23, in the verse we just read here in verse number 11, they go right together. It's God that does the giving. He's the one that gives us eternal life. And of course, one of my favorite verses, I mentioned this one last week also, Romans chapter 4, verse number 5, concerning if we can work for a gift or not. By the way, you can't work for a gift anyway. You have to work for a wage, right? You have to work for compensation. So you can't receive a gift because of a work that you've done. That kind of makes it not a gift anymore. It disqualifies it from being a gift. The Bible says in Romans 4, 5, but to him that worketh not. So there's no work that can warrant you a gift to be received. To him that worketh not, but believeth. There's the gift, see? God's the one that's done the giving. You're just supposed to do the receiving. How do you do the receiving? By believing. By believing the record that God has given us. I think it's very simple. It's unfortunate that man and religion complicates it so much. Just pay attention to the record. Spin that hit record one more time. Listen to it again. How do we receive God's gift of eternal life? How do we do that? Well, when it comes to false witnesses and false testimony, the way we know they're false is by consulting the record. So when we have a question about, well, how do I get saved? How do I receive eternal life? How do I know that my life won't end in my sin and my existence won't be judged as a sinner who's trespassed and offended and broken God's holy law? How do I receive redemption and forgiveness and salvation? How do I receive these things? Well, once again, got to go back to the record. The record answers all the questions. This is the answer book. All man's questions are answered by God in this book right here. I believe that. I used to think that there's some frivolous questions here and there and all that. No. The more I study the book, the more I see the direction that you need for any part or any way of life. I see the answer. And how do we receive God's gift of eternal life? Well, once again, consult the record. Consult the record. Look at verse number 11. I'm going to back up and give the whole verse again. It says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." That's the giving right there. That's what we just talked about. Eternal life is a gift. Now look at the last part. "And this life," what life? Eternal life. "This life is in his Son." So the record tells us that eternal life is a person. Amen. Jesus is not only the light, not only the bread, not only the living water, but he is eternal life. Come down from heaven for me and for you. Eternal life is a person. That's what verse number 11, the last part, says. It says that this life is in his Son. Now, look at verse number 12 again. "He that hath the Son hath life." I guess you could say it this way. You could put the equal sign in there. If you have the Son, then you can put an equal sign and say you have eternal life. The only way to have eternal life is to have the Son. And the rest of the verse says, if you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. It can't be any more simple. I said it last week, but 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12 is 19 one-syllable words in one verse. 19 one-syllable words in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. See, the record tells us that eternal life is a person. Where is this eternal life located? It's located in his Son. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is where you find eternal life. Well, as I look at Jesus Christ as the person, as God that became a man, and the mysteries of that are incomprehensible. We can only go by what the Bible speaks to when it states the truths of his incarnation, how God, who cannot be hardly contained by his creation, was contained in a creature of his creation and robed in flesh, that God allowed himself to do that. And it's mind-boggling in that, but what did God do? What did God accomplish by becoming a man? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, he accomplished a life that I could not live. He accomplished a life that you could not live. And by the way, God's record bears those things to be true. Don't think that God in his record and in his official record keeping has missed your shortcomings and failures and sin. It's all there. It's all there. There's things, there's books that God has when it comes to his official record. There's the book of life, and then there's the Lamb's book of life, and there's many passages that speak to those official records that are kept by God, and that would be a study for another time. But what did God accomplish in Christ Jesus? He became a man and lived the life that we could not live, but yet even though he was a sinless Son of God that accomplished everything he was supposed to accomplish, he died our death. He tasted death for every man. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, he died the death of a sinner. He was numbered with the transgressors, even though he himself was not a transgressor. He died for the transgressors. He was the guiltless one, the just one that died for the guilty, the unjust. He died on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. You realize that when you trust that Jesus Christ, believing that he died on the cross for your sins, when you accept him as your personal Savior, you receive that gift of eternal life. See, he died on the cross for our sins, shed his blood, was buried, rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that is the record, the hit record that God has preserved for us to understand even today. On the first Sunday of February 2013, yeah, the world didn't end in December 2012. Now we're here, it's February 2013, and yet the record still stands. The Lord Jesus Christ ever liveth. He's the one that we can point to. He's the one that we do point to. See, eternal life is a person, and let me just say, I'll conclude with this. Eternal life is a choice. Verse number 13, I didn't read it earlier, but here the writer, John the Revelator, writes here in this epistle, this letter. He writes, "These things have I written unto you, who? That believe on the name of the Son of God." Ye that believe on the name of the Son of God. See, eternal life is a choice. You get to choose what you believe on. You get to choose whether God's lying to you or if he's giving you the truth when he gives you his record. It's your choice. Back to verse number 10 again. And by the way, if you side against God, it makes you a liar. Let God be true, and every man a liar, the Bible says. But it's your choice. God doesn't save you against your will. He's not going to twist your arm. He's not going to, just like he didn't with Adam and Eve. I've mentioned this before, but Adam and Eve, he put the tree, the forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, he put it in the midst of the garden. It didn't have a barbed wire fence around it over in the corner where they never passed by. No, it was in the midst of the garden. He wanted their love. He wanted them to freely choose him as they passed by that forbidden fruit day in and day out, morning and evening. No, he wants you to choose him. When you choose him, you know what you choose? You choose eternal life. Remember, if you hath the Son, you hath life. But if you don't have the Son, you don't have life. In fact, this is all the life you'll basically know. The rest of it will be death for you. That's what the scripture teaches. It might not be pleasant to talk about death, but that is the truth of the record. Do you believe God's record today? I read a poem, this has been a couple of years ago, I might have used it on the radio, but I think it applies to the choices that this passage of the record gives us this morning. It says something like this. It says, "To every man there openeth a way and ways and another way. And some men climb the highway, and some men grope below. And in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. And to every man there openeth a highway and a low, and every man decideth which way his soul should go. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." Are you choosing God? Are you choosing the Lord Jesus Christ? "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Are you choosing your own way? Are you choosing man's way? Are you choosing religion's way? The record is clear about which way to choose. And that way is a person. His name is Jesus. My question to you this morning, have you chose Jesus? I'm not talking about whether our nations chose Jesus or not. I'm talking about the individual this morning. What's your heart on the matter? What's your mind? Is God, is he true or is he a liar? Because that's going to determine whether you're true or whether you're a liar. Let's bow our heads for prayer. We'll have a time of invitation. This message is